T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Joe, going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Talk to our buddy Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, did you make your early bets on the Jets to win the AFC East and the AFC, the Super Bowl, all that? I saw that article this morning early. The future bets looking good for the Deshaun Watson trade rumors, huh?
Well, you've seen more than I have on my website. I've been on the air for the last 2 hours. I haven't looked at it. I always have that moment of fear, like, God, what have they done? But the writers have autonomy, and I'll catch up with whatever they wrote. But plenty of content. Just, this is supposed to be slow right now. No combine. Nobody knows what the salary cap's going to be. No deals are getting done. My God, it's been anything but slow right now.
You know, it is. And by the way, I'm sure the other sports are going, when is this friggin' quarterback stuff going to stop? And we've never seen anything like this, obviously, Mike. That goes without saying. But you know what's crazy? How many teams are really happy and going, oh, boy, we have our franchise quarterback? How many? Was there 10? Maybe 10? Maybe 12 teams?
Maybe 10. Maybe 10. And that's, you know, I think we either – wrote that in the past several weeks, or I meant to write it and I never did. But the idea that, you know, you could count them on two hands, where you can say this team, and I think we did write it, situations where for the next 2 years, the team is committed to the player and the player is committed to the team. There aren't nearly as many as there used to be. And we're seeing more and more of these efforts now for the player to be the one who wants out. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, that's a new dynamic where highly compensated franchise quarterbacks are willing to make their displeasure known and willing to ask either privately or publicly for a new team. Now, Russell Wilson technically hasn't done it yet, but when his agent goes on the record and says he's not asking for a trade, but if he were to be traded, these are the four teams he'd take a trade to. That's the next best thing to formally demanding a trade.
I think that's my favorite, the fact he already had four teams lined up if they were willing to trade him, if they wanted to trade him there. Do you think Russell Wilson ends up staying in Seattle, or do you think that this pushes him over the edge and he does get traded by the team?
As I pointed out yesterday, I think the shelf life for that relationship is closer to bread than bricks. And I don't think he's going to be there long term. I think that a year is the most that it would last. I doubt that he's going to sign another contract with the Seahawks. And I'm beginning to think that the Seahawks, once they realize it's inevitable that Russell Wilson is going to be gone, they just take the best package they can get. And the question becomes, when do you get your best package? Do you get it now or do you get it next year? And do you want to go through another year of dysfunction where it becomes even more obvious next year that the Seahawks have to trade him? You know, this vague sense that they won't trade him, that can become the last piece of leverage that gets you maybe a little bit more than you'd otherwise get. Once it becomes obvious you're trading the guy, you don't get nearly as much as you could when you know, you're able to convince the team, nah, we don't like that offer, we'll just keep him. I think by next year, the notion of, we'll just keep him, I don't think that's going to hold water. So now may be the time to do it. And if I'm one of these four teams, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, I'm putting my offers together. I'm coming up with my strategy because I think each of these four teams should be thinking about trying to get it.
Mike, switching over to the other topic that's been around forever, Deshaun Watson finally gets a chance to meet with his new coach, David Coley, and says, hey, congratulations on getting the job, coach, and everything, but it's not about you. It's about everybody above you, and I still want to be traded. Does this finally kill it? Or are they going to stick with this? At some point, they're going to have to let him go. He doesn't look like he's playing poker. It looks a lot more serious.
Well, somebody made the point a few weeks ago, and I can't remember who, or I'd give them proper credit. The idea that Deshaun Watson came from nothing financially. So the fact that he has money now and may have to pay some of it back or forego more of it if he chooses to sit out for a full year or longer, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. $10 million salary this year that he won't make, doesn't care. $5.4 million signing bonus that would have to be repaid, doesn't care. More than $2 million in fines, doesn't care. And I don't know what the Texans are trying to prove by refusing to recognize that he's not coming back. They apparently think they can change his mind. But why would they think they can change his mind? And, you know, anytime someone says to me there's no way that they can trade Deshaun Watson, my reaction is there's no way they should have let it get to this point. And I know he just signed a contract in September, but they fired Bill O'Brien four games into the season. It created the impression going forward for Deshaun Watson they don't have a plan. And then when you legitimately believe that the owner has told you that you will have a role, you will have a voice, you will have a seat at the table in the selection of the next coach and the next GM, and you don't get it. The two names that you suggest for interviews, one only gets interviewed after it gets out that you wanted the team to interview Eric Bieniemy. The other one, Robert Saleh, never was interviewed, even though he was recommended by Deshaun Watson. I don't know that you can come back from that. In his tweet yesterday about loyalty, I don't think that he's ever going to be comfortable with that team. And Peter King suggested today on PFT Live, he just needs to sit down with Cal McNair and tell him that. Maybe that's what it's going to take for Cal McNair to realize that this notion that it'll get better, he'll get over it, he'll be back, he'll do this, he'll do that. They're better off acknowledging he's not coming back and setting up an auction, finding out which teams that Watson would play for and working the best possible deal to move him now. Because whatever it is they get later, it's undoubtedly going to be less.
Mike, help me. Zach asked me early this morning, so what exactly do you think it is that's got Russell Wilson going back to that he was so upset about with the Seahawks? Is it picking the right GMs, or is it the right plays or right off? No, what is it?
It's been around for a while. You know, there's a disconnect between what Russell Wilson thinks he can be and what the team lets him be. He wants the offense to run through him. That's where Let Russ Cook came from. Someone close to Wilson told me back in September, if they don't let Russ Cook, they're going to be baking a farewell cake. And that's what it was for a while until they hit the wall with the Bills game when he had four turnovers, two interceptions, two fumbles lost. And then the next week against the Rams, three turnovers. Then they had a short week game coming up against the Cardinals. And he goes into the coaches and he says, I got ideas for how to fix the offense. And they basically said, you just work here. And he stormed out of the room. So, you know, he has believed that the team has too basic of an approach. The team doesn't let him take over the way that the Chiefs let Patrick Mahomes take over. He views himself as that level, and a lot of people do too. And, you know, it dawned on me yesterday when I read the article in The Athletic that really for the first time I think reflected the Seahawks' view on a lot of things. Now, the Seahawks haven't spoken publicly, but some of the stuff in that article, it's only coming from the Seahawks. It's not coming from Wilson's camp. The slaps at Wilson are not coming from him. I think that after I read that, the conclusion is this. If the Seahawks don't view Russell Wilson the way that Russell Wilson views Russell Wilson, they should trade him to a team who does, because that team will put a price, will put a value, will put a package together that the Seahawks would look at and say, that's too much for this guy. Yeah, we'll take it. You've made us the offer we can't refuse because we don't think the guy's Patrick Mahomes. Now, the question for the Seahawks becomes, at what point do you give up the bird in the hand even if you don't think the bird in the hand is as special as the bird in the hand thinks he is, when do you give up the bird in the hand? Because there's no guarantee you're going to get somebody
that's right
half as good as Russell Wilson, even if you don't view Russell Wilson as a Patrick Mahomes. I think that's the challenge for the Seahawks. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a decision that I think Pete Carroll makes. Pete Carroll's the guy calling the shots there. And when Pete Carroll wants to move on, they'll move on. And if he doesn't want to move on, he won't move on.
Mike, if Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson are at the dinner, I want to go back to the appetizer real quick. What's going on with Dak Prescott? Where do you see him in the league, by the way, quarterback standing-wise? And do you think that they're going to give in and give him the $40 million or close to that per year for Dallas?
If they franchise tag him again and they don't sign him to a long-term contract, then they're going to have an even harder time signing him to a long-term contract now than last year, because the starting point is $37.68 million, fully guaranteed for this year. Mm. Then for next year, if they franchise tag him again, it's $54.25 million. If they transition tag him, which just gives them a right to match, it's a 20% bump. It's like $45 million. You start doing the math. You start adding up what he's guaranteed to get over the next 2 years by continuing the Kirk Cousins approach. It takes a lot of money to get him to sign a long-term deal. Now, I think it's incumbent on the Cowboys to go to him and get him to sign a long-term deal. And ideally, you want to do it before you apply the tag, because once you apply the tag, that becomes tag number two for Dak Prescott. The next tag applied to him at any point in his career carries the 44% bump that he'd be looking at next year if they tag him this year. So if you're going to do the long-term deal, don't do it July 15. Do it before March 9. Do it before the window closes on applying the franchise tag. Get the deal done. Reduce his cap number. And if you sign him the long-term deal, you can structure it in a way that makes the cap number for 2021 much lower than $37.68 million. It's a win-win. The problem is the Cowboys eventually are going to have to give in. They've refused to give in. They keep thinking that Dak Prescott's going to roll out of bed one day and say, okay, I get it. I'm going to do the team-friendly deal. He's refused at every turn to do it, and that's what's fascinating. And now that Russell Wilson's in play, do they work out a deal for him and say, see you later, Dak Prescott? You know, we've all wondered what your value is on the open market. We're all about to find out. You get a one-way ticket to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, I jump on that Russell Wilson. I'm Dallas in a heartbeat. Oh, my God. Hey, Mike, I did want to ask you, though, when we've been talking about this stuff. I want to ask you about salary cap. So the contracts they're working on, looks like Disney's not real excited about it. So what kind of bump are we expecting in the new contracts, CBS, Fox, Disney, to pay for the new package?
They're looking at a 10-year deal that's like $100 billion if they get what they want. And you know, there was a report not long ago that the league wanted to get it done before setting this year's salary cap, with the idea that maybe they could move some money around from future years to this year to bump up the cap. My understanding is they want to get those deals done, not for the purposes of bumping up this year's cap, but because they want to announce the 17-game regular season, and you put the cart before the horse. If all of a sudden you're staging 17 games and you don't have those extra games baked into the value long-term, the extra weekend that it provides of TV coverage, they don't want to do it working backward. They want to do it working forward. That's why they're trying to get it done. They're not going to flip the switch on 17 games until they get these deals done. And I think some of them are close. The one that provides the most room for negotiation and potential consternation is the Monday Night Football deal, because ESPN was already paying $2 billion a year. There was a report earlier this week that the league wants 3.5, and that the at 3.5 and ESPN was at 2.4. That's a hell of a gap to bridge on 1 year on average. But, you know, the problem for ESPN is that's their only slice of the NFL. And the problem for the NFL is if it's not on ESPN, where's Monday Night Football, and who else is going to give you anything close to what ESPN would pay?
That's right. That's exactly right. It's crazy. The other side of this real quickly, too, at some point gambling with everything that they kind of frowned on, except for moving to Las Vegas, they're going to be giving in on that in the next few years. Would you agree?
Oh, they're in the process of gradually embracing it. It's a balance And, you know, they were dead set against Vegas until they knew where the ball was moving. And I talked to someone several months back who suggested that these franchises, and a lot of them are worth $2, $3, $4 billion right now. They'll be $8, $9, $10 billion businesses once we get the fully mature nationwide legalized sports betting. Now, it's never going to be more than 40, 45 states. Right now, you know, the lotteries have been around forever. Only 44 states have them. So I doubt that, that the six states that have held out on the daily number or Powerball or scratch-off tickets are all of a sudden going to say, yeah, you can bet on football, baseball, basketball, et cetera. But I think as we get to the point where it's 35, 40 in that range, the money is going to be gigantic for the NFL. They're going to find ways to make money off of it with partnerships with these sports books and different types of betting, in-stadium betting. And you know, the thing that's really going to make it take off, guys, and they're working on this technology, when you watch your game at home, there's a lag. We know that. What we see at the moment we're watching it in our living rooms or wherever is 15, 20 seconds behind what's happening at the stadium. They're trying to get to the point where what we see in our home is exactly what's happening. And when they do that, when they get to that point, that unlocks the entire universe of picking up your phone and making bets on what the next play is going to be, what the outcome is going to be, what the play call is going to be. Once they do that, that's when everything explodes for the NFL.
My name's Joe Rosen, and I have a gambling problem. What's the next play? Mike, thank you, buddy.
Mike, I'll be the first one to bet in the Pro Football Talk app when you guys have a gambling app, right?
Hey, listen. We're like the what are the little fish that swim on next to the sharks and just like, you know, the little parasite fish? That's what we are. And I'm looking forward to whatever scraps the sharks leave behind for me.
Whatever it is,
I'm with you.
It's gonna be a lot, but that is funny, Mike. And you've already thought about it, and I have too. When I look 200 times a day at ProFootballTalk.com, and what is gonna be down the road,
you will be able to click a button, and you will be able to place any bet you want to place. And we have the captive audience that's already interested in football. So yes, the possibilities are endless.
We're going to leave you on that. Just that thought and a good mood right there, Mike. Thank you so much,
all right,
buddy.
See you guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Yeah, Joe, that's going to happen.
You know what, Zach? It's like, okay, so how's the sport going to grow besides these contracts that are going to be coming out and all
more
the obvious?
Money.
But the big one is that's coming.
Gambling.
And I know the commissioner's tried to take the high road on it, even though the NBA's been real aggressive about – we got to go after this. NFL is.
Can you imagine the
as soon as they went to Vegas, they sold out. It was done.
Right.
Soon as I looked at that new stadium, looking over at all of those casinos, I was just like, okay, it's over. Hard Rock, just come on in. Let's talk. How are we going to do this together? How are we going to work it out?
I mean, you think basketball and baseball?
They're all going to do it.
Eventually join the Vegas teams. Like have teams out there in Vegas, professional teams. You think that happens soon?
Yes.
Yep, so do I.
Whoever thought,
not even
though,
a question.
I know their hockey's doing great. I think the football thing's going to be a home run and one of the most profitable teams in the NFL. I really believe that. I was just thinking all the suite holders, because suite holders, all those people I'm talking about, MGM says we'll take five suites for
right,
all of them.
We'll take 20. Gotta get the whales.
And then, what about all the rich people who just want them? It's gonna be crazy. Hey, we got to go to break, or we're gonna get crazy in trouble. We'll be right back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And one
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.